hang on for just a few minutes more. Thanks, Dave. Certainly like to hold up this relationship that the college and the unit have as a good example to follow in the relationship of teaching organizations and research organizations here on the campus. We have taken the initial steps now to develop a program similar to the one that Dr. Klein just described for fisheries. That is, we are hoping to be able to establish here at the University of Alaska a cooperative fishery unit which will work with the college in much the same way as the wildlife unit does. Another operation that we are working to establish in relation to the college or otherwise is a, for want of a better title, a land resources research laboratory. Given this relatively poor environment in the colleges for research, the absence of an appropriate research unit, and the extreme importance of Alaska's renewable natural resources over and above the wildlife management, we are requesting the establishment of this research laboratory as a focal point for research on Alaska's wildland resources. The proposed research laboratory would include forestry, watershed, range, recreation, land use and classification, and other aspects of applied ecology, which are not currently adequately represented on the campus. This year, for the second time in our budget request to the legislature, we are requesting seed money for the initiating of such a laboratory. We feel that this laboratory would go a long way as a means of developing our expertise at the university in these critical Alaskan wildland resources, both through the development of not knowledgeable faculty, but also as a training ground for our graduate students. That's about all I have to say, except that I'd like to make one sort of tail end comment here. I haven't mentioned the graduate teaching, shall we say, program particularly. Perhaps I'm a little flat-footed on this, but I think we have here an excellent illustration of this teaching-research concept that Dr. Theophilus spoke about, and the different emphasis that is put on this between the research institutes and the colleges. The research institutes here today have discussed the graduate teaching program as a part of their research, and we, I think, in the colleges last year discussed the graduate teaching program as a part of the academic program. In my presentation here today, I have discussed just what I had called research, but really I suppose it is this teaching-related research area that we have been talking about. Just in order that my faculty doesn't douse me completely for having not put any more stress on this than I did, I would like to point out that since 1966, and that's in the last 3 years, we have awarded 29 master's degrees from our college. The theses, which are listed, those that wrote theses, are listed on page 29 and 30 of their publications list. I'd like to have you take a look at it just to see the breadth that we have been working with our graduate students. Let's have coffee.
Thank you, Brianna. We have the second half of the double feature includes three more presentations, one of about 5 minutes in duration, then about half an hour, then about 20 minutes. How would 15 minutes for coffee suit the president? President O'Neill. I'd like to offer one observation. I'm a staunch supporter of research, but I recall the reference to the sheep lick and the mineral lick, the picture showing the sheep, and I went with a graduate student this summer, a 5-day trek, and when you're picking up samples of the mud, samples of the water, and you're lugging them up those mountains, you begin to take a dim view of research at times. 10 minutes, please.
Introduce some of the members of the College of Business and Government that are in attendance today. Professor Melba Pelosi, who heads the Department of Office Administration. Melba, if you just raise your hands, find where they can see you and where. Professor Herman Slotnick, Department of History. Professor Ron Chen, Department of Political Science. Professor Harold Dinkins, Acting Department Head, Department of Economics. Professor Tom Schaefer, just back from New York. Are you here, Tom? Acting Department Head of Business, and Professor James Barger, Head of the Department of Accounting. Now, last year, I had the pleasure of appearing before you, and at that time, I concentrated essentially on four items. I would like to say today at the outset that our main thrust in the College of BEG, Business, Economics, and Government, is in the area of teaching. We certainly do research, but our main effort is through our sister institution, that of the Institute of Social Economics and Government. We just concluded a very fruitful year in working with them, and we look forward to having more of their personnel participate in the classroom and more of our personnel do research through the Institute. In appearing before you last year, I mentioned the following projects. In fact, I solicited your support of the following projects. First, a master's degree in public administration, resources to continue our associate degree in police administration. Thirdly, resources to hire new personnel in order that we could increase the quality and in-depth course offerings for our ongoing programs. And finally, I cautioned the last time that if we are to have a law school here at the University of Alaska, the time might very well be approaching when a conservative effort should be made in that direction, for the simple reason, if we had the resources today and the mandate, a consensus from the people of Alaska, it would be 5 years from now before we would enjoy an accredited law school. Now let me hurriedly state exactly where we stand today. With reference to the MPA degree, Master's Degree in Public Administration, this past fall it was implemented at Juno Douglas, and I'm happy to be able to say we had some 60 part-time students participating, and we definitely have an ongoing program there. We will offer two more courses this spring. With reference to the police administration degree, you will recall that we had a grant last year from Washington, approximately $87,000, that enabled us to get started. Due to congressional action, the grant was terminated. But fortunately, the program has been continued both at Anchorage and here at main campus, and we have some 50 students in the program here on the main campus and more than 65 participating in the program at Anchorage. Regarding personnel in depth, I would like to emphasize today that we still have need for additional faculty in the areas of business, history. We are offering nothing in Asian studies at the University of Alaska, despite the tremendous thrust in Asia today. And we have need for people with reference to the development of economics. Finally, with the assistance of the faculty at UCLA Law School, we now have alternatives, some reasonable alternatives for the establishment of a law school. I hope that we can speak to this subject more in detail at a later time. Finally, I would like to say today that we hope sincerely, through critical examination of our ongoing programs, we are not planning any additional programs in the area of BEG at the university at this time. But we hope to critically examine the ongoing programs for relevancy, for effectiveness, and for updating the quality to make sure that we are not offering second-rate degrees in these areas. And in so doing, we hope that we can continue to turn out first-class graduates in these areas, these disciplines, at the University of Alaska, and in so doing, that we can continue to enjoy the confidence and the support that the regents have given us in the past. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob. Next is the College of Earth Science and the Mineral Industries, a well-known figure, Dean Earl Weissman.
Thank you, Don. President O'Neill, members of the Board of Regents, President Wood, colleagues, and guests. It's indeed my pleasure on behalf of the faculty of the College of Earth Science to state our appreciation to the board and to the administration for the very good support that we have had over the years in building our research programs and our academic programs. Today, I would like to introduce first some of the people in our college. These people are here. If you have any questions after, I'm sure that they'll be happy to help in answering. First, Dr. Cook, head of the Department of Mineral Engineering. And Dr. Benson, the acting head of the Department of Geology. And Dr. Rashi, head of the Department of Geography. And Dr. Wolf, the Mineral Industry Research Laboratory. And Mr. Heiner, assistant mineral engineer in the Mineral Industry Research Laboratory. I think we have them all. A Kipling proverb states, I have six honest men serving me. They taught me all I know. Their names were where and what and when and why and how and who. Utilizing this approach, my presentation today is in three parts. First, why research in the College of Earth Sciences and Mineral Industry? Second, what research has been and is being accomplished? And third, what problems exist and what is the research program for the future? First, why research in the College of Earth Sciences and Mineral Industry? From the very beginning, the objectives of the programs of the forerunner of the College of Earth Science has been to provide educational opportunities in earth sciences and mineral industries and to assist in the economic development of Alaska's mineral resources. The success of the program in the past are testified to by the overall success of the graduates who have come from the college. After years of a rather dormant mineral industry in the state, activities has birthed forth, much as the budding birch in the spring. Precipitated by oil and gas discoveries and greatly intensified mineral exploration, now as never before, the college must react dynamically in its educational and research programs throughout the state, because the atmosphere of excitement and anticipation that is affecting the people of Alaska is due to these mineral activities, which in turn are in the college's disciplines of instruction. To most effectively serve those people interested in careers in the earth sciences and or mineral industries, a number of programs approved as being a necessary part of the university's offerings on a statewide basis and having a general identity have been grouped together into an administrative unit designated as SESME. Included are programs in geography. In geography, there are 2 degrees offered, the Bachelor of Arts and Bachelor of Science. The blue indicates programs proposed for the future. And Department of Geology, Bachelor of Arts, Bachelor of Science, Geological Engineering, Bachelor of Science in Geology, Master of Science in Geology, and the PhD in Geology. Department of Mineral Engineering, Associate Degrees, Mineral Petroleum Technology, Bachelor of Science in Mineral Engineering, Master of Science in Mineral Preparation Engineering, and in Mineral Industry Management. Also the Professional Degree Engineer of Mines. Again, degrees shown in blue are proposed for some time in the future. And then the fourth element of the college is the research laboratory, the Mineral Industry Research Laboratory, basic research and applied research. We will come back to that. Now, in a packet that we have prepared for the Board of Regents, which we'll give you shortly there, this material is included, as is some detail of our programs in geology and the various disciplines within the geology program. Again, you'll get a much better picture by taking a look at this folder. Dr. Theophilus has very clearly presented the concept that research must be an important, if not an integral, part of teaching programs. However, with due consideration of the individual and his contributions to teaching as compared to research. In our college, generally, research is being conducted and expanded in those areas in which academic programs are offered. In these fields, throughout the world, great bodies of knowledge have and are being developed. Technological advances are equally impressive, yet unlimited challenging frontiers remain. In Alaska, with its unique environment, its resources, its mountains, valleys, and streams, and extensive shorelines and continental shelf, the opportunities for study and research are as challenging as anywhere in the world. In line with these concepts, a research unit has been established in the college. And this is for the purpose of assisting in the development of human and mineral resources of Alaska. The unit is administered entirely within the college, currently in the dean's office, along with the academic departments. It cooperates closely with the academic departments and with other colleges and research units, as well as with private industry and government agencies such as the United States Bureau of Mines, United States Geological Survey, and the State Division of Mines and Geology. In this way, a strong earth science and mineral industry-oriented complex is being developed. In a university complex, cooperation is necessary among the various disciplines, both in research and in teaching. Figure 2 illustrates some of the cooperative projects and programs that have existed and or are existing between SESME and other university units. In looking at this chart, you have the Mineral Industry Research Laboratory cooperating with mineral engineering and with geology in a closed circuit. And then noticing the legend, the solid line, shared research programs and teaching assignments, and the dotted line, shared research programs or teaching assignments. And so you can get an idea with the Mineral Industry Laboratory, with units that we have had cooperative programs with teaching or research. The same holds true for mineral engineering coming up to the various units, and the same with geology coming down and branching there. In other words, it's absolutely necessary, we feel, to get out and use the entire resources of the university. All in all, we believe a balanced research and teaching programs are essential in the college to allow it to make contributions to student education, development of mineral resources, faculty development and stimulation, and world knowledge. Number 2, what research has been and is being conducted in the college? Research in SESME is conducted in the academic departments, in Mineral Industry Research Laboratory, and in research institutes through various cooperative arrangements. The results of research must be made known through publication if they are to be contributions to human knowledge. The publications of our college faculty are included in the booklet of college of university faculty publications, which you have just received. Also of interest is a list of research grants that have been received by the college personnel in the several departments, and a list of graduate student publications. These are included in the packet that you will receive. I think in reviewing and looking over this, it's rather interesting to note the wide variety of sources of fundings and the wide variety of subject material that has been covered. Now, in the Mineral Industry Research Laboratory, the laboratory was established as a part of the College of Earth Science and Mineral Industry by the 1963 legislature. The objectives of the laboratory, as stated, was to help expand and diversify the mineral industries of a state through applied and basic research in coordination with state and federal mineral agencies. 2, to assist in education of Alaska's major resources, its people, and 3, to assist in service to industry through consultation and test work. At the present time, the laboratory has 3 full-time members, Mr. Heiner, Dr. Rao, Associate Professor of Coal Technology, and Dr. Wolf, the geologist. The consultants are utilized to work on specific projects as the need arise. An advisory committee working with consultants when necessary review and consider research projects and proposals. I cannot help but think back of Dr. Mather's presentation, these lists that you saw this morning, the large number of supporting people that we have, and I think we've got to take a page from his book and maybe use an approach such as that, rather than a limited staff. Funding within the Mineral Industry Research Laboratory. The laboratory personnel are in full agreement with the original charge of the 1963 legislature and believe that the mineral industry provides the greatest potential for growth of Alaska, just as it has made major contributions in the past. The development of a strong mineral industry in the state is of great importance to the nation, but even more so to the states. Hence, it is logically a state responsibility to support research that potentially leads to mineral development. With reference to state money, the personnel of the laboratory feel that there should be a certain foundation, a certain level established to give a stable organization, and that this is something that should come in, and at this point, the fund should not be considered as seed money directly as matching. This comes in addition. The fact that a laboratory is established and operating in itself will tend to draw money. Certainly, we plan to solicit more funds. We're not saying that the entire operation should be supported by state money, but certainly there should be a good solid basis for operation. Now, this figure shows the straight appropriations to the laboratory during the past 6 years and the amount of funding that has been obtained otherwise. Beginning in 1963 and for the next 2 years, $50,000. 1966, it dropped to $30,000. $45,000, $48,000, and $61,000. The amount of money that had come from sources other than what we have here is shown here, zero the first year, $75,000, $67,000, $18,000, $40,000, and $18,000. $74,000 this year at the present time, and this is 120% of the amount that we have budgeted. Now this slide will show where the sources of some of this money that will come has come from that we have at the current year. U.S. Department of Interior, grant of $18,000. The final payment on a $25,000 grant from the Utah Valley Coal Mine was received. United States Department of Interior, Bureau of Mines, $25,000. And then Department of Mines and Geology, $11,000. The North Commission, another $7,000. So it indicates that not only are funds coming in, but also funds are coming from other mineral industry agencies, which will, I think, allow all of us to develop together. The June 1969 annual report contains a review of the research completed during the previous year, a summary of research in progress, and a general statement of the type of other services given to individuals and agencies. As an example, on page 9 is given a list of publications, the titles of which are self-explanatory as to the information provided to the public. Here, every attempt is made to do research that will be of some benefit in the not-too-distant future. As examples, some of the reports that have been put out: the market potential for Alaskan clay products, Alaska cement markets and opportunities for regional production, market for insulation in Alaska and feasibility of regional manufacture, natural resource base of the Fairbanks North Star, the Fortran 4 trend surface program for the IBM 360 Model 40 computer, and so it goes along. Geochemical, geophysical investigations in the Fairbanks district, distribution of certain minor elements in Alaskan coals, known potential ore reserves of the Seward Peninsula, heavy minerals in Alaska beach sands, washability characteristics of coal. Now, these are the type of things that we have been working on in the laboratory. The presence of the laboratory in a close physical association with the college allows students in geology and engineering to become familiar with the types of studies undertaken as contributions to the development of the mineral industry. Some measure of the success of the laboratory in fulfilling its roles is indicated by the large number of requests for publications and by letters from government and industry commending the authors on the publications. And also you will find in your packet the various letters that have come to, not all of them of course, but an example of the type of comments that come from not only individuals, but from various agencies, United States, Canadian, state. As examples, report number 19 by Heiner and Wolf, Handbook of Geophysical Prospecting Methods for the Alaskan Prospector, was reprinted because of the demand. Also, the North Commission provided funds for the reprinting of Report 16, Mineral Resources of Northern Alaska, after the first printing was exhausted. In addition, the reception given the report by exploration people indicated a need for similar studies in other parts of Alaska. On the basis of this, a similar type of report was prepared on the Seward Peninsula, and one is in preparation for southeastern Alaska. The current contracts with federal and state mineral agencies are indicative of the cooperative programs being developed, as well as the capability of laboratory personnel. The Alaska Miners Association, in its annual meeting in Anchorage on December 3rd, passed two resolutions pertaining to the college. One was an endorsement of the minerals and marine facility that would provide space for advanced instruction in the college, as well as facilities for our mineral industry research laboratory. To further strengthen the mineral support, space in the facility is being planned for the United States Geological Survey, the Bureau of Mines, Division of Mines and Geology, United States Coast and Geodetic Survey, Institute of Water Resources, and the Institute of Marine Science. The second resolution recommends an increase in state appropriations for funding in the laboratory. These resolutions, which are not, of course, a part of the university, are forwarded to all state administrators and to the legislators of the state by the Miners Association. Judging from the response of the association and other organization, industry has shown its endorsement of the teaching and research programs of the college. Thus, the laboratory is achieving its objectives of contributing to the development of human and mineral resources, although on a scope far too limited. Go to the next slide, please. As an example of the contributions made to the teaching effort of the university, this chart pertains to this year's operation, where people in the laboratory are teaching various courses. Sometimes it's a complete course, sometimes it is a part course, such as this one credit offering. So there is then a blending of a research people with the teaching function of the college. Number three, what problems exist and what is the research program for the future? Yes, we always have to start out with funding and facilities. Funding for teaching and for research go hand in hand in the college, and there never is sufficient money. Budgets are developed and justified on the basis of accomplishing the objectives of the program, but often difficulties arise when opportunities present themselves which cannot be accepted because of lack of funds for personnel to carry on a particular project. The basic goals in funding is to establish a stable full-time core of teaching and research personnel. Peripheral to this core will be appropriate personnel from other university units and outside consultants who could be available to work on special projects beyond the capacity of the regular staff. Often suggested is the principle of reinvesting a portion of the state income derived from the mineral industry to further develop industry through research. With reference to facilities, space, of course, is lacking. You are familiar with the mineral and marine complex. We certainly appreciate the action that the administration and the board has taken on pushing this ahead, and we hope that this will be followed through with a great deal of vigor in the months to come. B, administrative atmosphere. The success of any organization is affected by the administrative atmosphere which surrounds the working unit. Because the university is not a large institution, and because research and teaching are closely interwoven into the present parallel organization, and because the college is involved in both teaching and research, it appears imperative to me that maximum communication and clear lines of operations should exist to allow harmonious relationship between the various units. In this respect, the University of Alaska has recently reaffirmed its excellent policy to the Northwest Association of Secondary and Higher Schools that instructional programs will remain in the respective colleges as recommended by the accrediting association. This means graduate as well as undergraduate teaching and the teaching research approach. With this as a basis and with the objective of always trying to improve internal communication and channels of operation, serious study should be given to problems such as have been identified by Dr. Theophilus. The delineating the scope of operations sometimes becomes necessary to allow individuals to go, never, however, putting it in a rigid package where you cannot move in one direction or the other. And we have examples of this. One would be, what would be the scope of activity, say, of the Research and Advanced Study Council with reference to action on academic programs and research proposals and programs? If one is approved and one is discussed, then should not the other be discussed if the entire university is involved? And then, for the sake of homogeneous operation, the placing of all graduate students' administration with undergraduate student administration under one hat instead of two. A good example of this would be, say, in the item of budget preparation. The preparation of the budget for all instruction is involved with the college, yet the program is involved with the research and advanced study group with reference to graduate instruction. These are examples, along with others previously mentioned, are not simple subjects, and means of handling them must be integrated into numerous facets of university operation. However, we must recognize that action at high levels have a direct bearing on personnel management and performance at the laboratory level, the test tube level, and this type. By such reviews and appropriate implementation, distasteful actions such as occurred at the Desert Research Institute may be prevented. And this, again, there is a copy of this article which appeared in the December 5th, 1969 issue in the packet. In the final analysis, men who are dedicated to the University of Alaska and the state, as well as to their professions, will make almost any system of organizational procedures operate beneficially for all people within and without the university. Administrative organization of SESME is part C of the third question. Research and instruction in the college are based upon having programs with natural affiliations and identity grouped together to give strong capabilities and performance by supporting each other. The present grouping of programs in the College of Earth Science and Mineral Industry was reviewed in detail in 1959, and strong endorsement was given at that time to such an administrative grouping. This is documented. We had to go to university archives to find it, and we referred to it as the Patty Report when this thing came on through. And finally, Dr. Patty, as president of the university, reacted and made the statement of policy then. University offerings must be periodically under review to assure that the university is responsive to the times. This is being done presently by the university assembly, and it is my understanding that you have received copies of the working papers and options under discussion. sufficient to say the consensus of the college faculty in a December 1969 meeting was that if a reorganization of groupings is undertaken, the present program should be continued and that additional disciplines should be included in the administrative unit, whatever the name might be. Examples of these additional programs to be included, providing there is such an organization in the future, would be something solid in geoscience, earth science, etc. In addition to our present programs would be meteorology, oceanography, solid earth geophysics, metallurgy, petroleum refining in conjunction with chemical engineering, and regional planning. Accordingly, with this in mind, the plans for the future are based on the assumption that the present program offerings will continue and be expanded, and that these and related research should go hand in hand in an administrative unit. The future. D. The overall plan for the college teaching and research in the future continues to be directed first offering educational programs in the earth sciences and mineral industry disciplines. 2. Contributing to resource development in the state. 3. Contributing to faculty development and stimulation. And 4. Contributing to world knowledge. Cooperative projects with other university units, private companies, and government mineral agencies will be further increased as conditions and needs require. This figure gives an idea of the plans of research for the future. You'll notice first in the lower left-hand column the legend, continuing, and future. And then with those as symbols, and the units of the college at present, Mineral Research Laboratory, Department of Geology, Department of Mineral Engineering, Department of Geography, indicate areas in which competence should be built for research in those various areas. I'll not go through the entire list. This again is included with the packet. This is a bit of a schematic design, and I think that if we just take the bottom words, from the depths to the stars, the moon is old time stuff now, so we've eliminated that. But you start back out here, you know, with the oil, and then you get the minerals, and pretty soon you get on the open cut of the surface, and all of the problems of ecology and reclaiming and all this is certainly a part of it. Then the underground mines, then pretty soon we're out here and heading for the next star. A little bit all-inclusive, I guess. Ben Franklin is quoted as saying, genius without education is like silver in the mine. Our objective is to mine the silver and utilize it for mankind.
Thank you, Earl. Our anchor man, Dean Charles Belke, Math, Physical Sciences, Engineering.
Board of Regents, my bosses and colleagues. Accustomed as I am to being ill prepared and at the risk of having a large mortgage and being unemployed, I'll go ahead with more unpreparedness. There are a number of things I would like to say about our college and the people who are doing research in our college, a little bit about the whys and wherefores of research in our college, several observations of my recent tenure here of the last 4 or 5 years, and a little bit about where we're going. First, before I begin that, however, I would like to point out a few things about this document, which I passed out to you and Wendell passed out to you earlier today. I'm sure this won't make much difference to the Board of Regents, but it does make a difference to the various college and institute people here. We wanted to, for our own good as much as for your good, tabulate the research accomplishments and the outside activities of the various people in the college. This was a good time to go back and look at this. So, we arbitrarily decided that we would attempt to gather together the accomplishments of the last 3 years. This gives a fairly good representative sample of what's going on in the colleges. Most of the people who are researching in the colleges are only researching on a 1/3 time basis, a 1/4 time basis, sometimes a casual basis, so it's better to look at their accomplishments research-wise and publication-wise over a period of a few years rather than for just 1 year. So we decided that we would establish this for 3 years. We had a considerable amount of difficulty deciding what were publications, what weren't publications, and so on, and I have to confess that I did the hard part of this. I organized the cover, or had the cover organized, and Brian Kessel did the easy part, which was the editing and the putting the thing together and so on. So Brian has worked desperately on this for a couple of weeks, and this is what has resulted. Now, many of these things that you'll read about in here, the publications, the theses, other research accomplishments, indeed were accomplished through an institute. What we're trying to show here is that these are the people who owe primary allegiance to a college. This is what their accomplishments were, regardless of whether they did this in an institute or whether they did it by themselves in the college. With regard to our college, and I'll discuss this in a minute, but with regard to our college, you'll notice a number of theses there, particularly PhD theses. Virtually all of these PhDs have been awarded by our physics department with the cooperation and tremendous work, research and so on, of the Geophysical Institute. There's no intention here to indicate that our physics department by itself turned out all these people. That's not the situation at all. But these are degrees which were offered in physics, so I want to make this absolutely clear. Now, our college is fairly large department-wise. It's not as large as we would like to have it student-wise, but it is fairly large department-wise, and I would like to just read off to you the various departments of the college so you'll be aware of the areas that we are doing research in and the areas we should be doing research in. First, the engineering areas, the electrical engineering department, the mechanical engineering department, civil engineering, and a graduate program in engineering management. These are all departments now. Then in the science areas, we have chemistry, physics, and I'm not sure if mathematicians would like to be called scientists, but I'll say we have mathematics. We have general science, and then as a program in the college at the 2-year level, we have electronic technology, and there is no research in electronic technology. As programs of the college, we have an environmental health engineering program and an interdisciplinary program which the college administers but really doesn't do very much of the teaching in, oceanography and ocean engineering. This is an interdisciplinary program, and most of the teaching in oceanography and ocean engineering, most of the research advisement, most of the thesis advisement and so on, is performed by people of the marine science staff. Now, I want to introduce a few of the department heads who are here. I'm very proud of the people that I have the privilege of working with, and I'd like you to meet a few of these. There aren't many here, but there are a few. In engineering management, the head of our engineering management department, Larry Bennett. Larry, would you stand up, please? We're a vigorous department, so we'll have everyone stand up. Larry is one of the fine people who teaches in Anchorage and Juneau and here, and is run rather ragged. The head of our chemistry department, who is in his second year here, Warren Smith. Would you stand up, please, Warren? Thank you. Head of our mathematics department, Robert Brown. And the head of the physics department, Roger Sheridan. And I hope I haven't missed any of my department heads. In charge of our environmental health engineering program is Sage Murphy, who you have already seen. Now, I would like to call your attention, if I may, to beginning on page 44 of this pamphlet that we passed out earlier. You'll notice on page 44 the beginnings of the publications of our faculty in the college. And there are several things that I would like to point out here and several things I'd like to discuss as we take a squint at this. The second publication is one by the head of our civil engineering department, John Burdick. And this publication is titled Paving the Airstrip at Point Barrow. Now, this is one thing that I would like to point out here that is considerably different in some of the areas of the college from the research that's performed in many of the institutes, and I don't mean all of the research, but most of the research is performed in many of the institutes. Here we have a publication. This is the results, the documentation of research. But every time you land at Point Barrow, you can see the results of this. Every time you take off at Point Barrow, you can see the results of this. This is something concrete. This is something that has developed, so that's resulted from the research and the design that this man has performed. So there's a lot more here than a publication. He hasn't only contributed to knowledge by the publication, by documenting something which can be reproduced at other points in the Arctic if you so desire, but he also has something very concrete and hard and solid and worthwhile to show you. We hope that research publications which will come from the work that we're performing on, that our faculty members are performing on the pipeline, tankers and so on, will also yield results which will be as hard and dollar-while as this one. Now, over the few years that I have recently been here, I have seen the faculty in all areas of the university, the research faculty and the teaching faculty, become considerably more competent than it was just a few years ago. This is a very, very interesting place because it's growing in competence and quality daily, and you can see it if you want to. You don't have to look very hard, really, but you can see it. And I would like to point out to you, as an example, one of the reasons for this faculty's being better than it was just a few years ago. If you look again in our college, I'll use this because I'm familiar with it and proud of it, Tom Head's accomplishments here. Research-wise, Tom Head has a number of publications over the past few years. Tom is not funded. These are pencil and paper type research. He doesn't need a lot of equipment. He doesn't have to have a lot of graduate students. They would be worthwhile, but he doesn't have to have these things. He doesn't have to have travel and so on. So Tom has published very prolifically, I think prolifically, considering the fact, of course, that he has a full-time teaching load. Tom is a sharp fellow. He can go downtown and talk to high school kids and make out like gangbusters, or he can talk to graduate students and communicate with them perfectly. He's an outstanding teacher. This fellow is tough to keep. Every year we sweat out, is Tom Head going to sign his contract or isn't he going to sign his contract? Because he is in demand. Other people want him. Other universities want him. And it's not because he can go downtown and talk to the high school kids. It's not because they know that they do or don't know that he can talk to the graduate students. It's because of these publications. He is known nationally. Publications, therefore, and research make a splash for our faculty nationally. They make our faculty competitive with other faculties. We want a faculty, I'm sure we all want a faculty, which we each year have to bid for, we have to pay for, we have to go to the president and the vice president and try to squeeze out a few more bucks because we want to keep these people. These people are in demand, they can get more money elsewhere. If we don't do this, we have a faculty which is dead. It may do an excellent job in the classroom. It may communicate beautifully with students. But if it's not in national competition, we are never really sure that what they're communicating to the students is what should be communicated to the students. So we want a faculty here, I think, that is competitive nationally. And the only way that that faculty will be competitive nationally is through its research activities. Now, I'm not saying here that we should publish or perish. I'm saying a faculty will perish if it doesn't publish at least a little bit. And that's what essentially we're doing in our college. We're not all publishing very prolifically, but we are attempting to get the papers out, hopefully quality papers, at a reasonable rate, consistent with good teaching. Now, when we hire a researcher, when any of the institutes hire a researcher, they're interested in research and really not very much in what the fellow can teach. At the college level, we have to be cautious here because we want a person who is interested in teaching, but who is also interested in research to make our national splash. Now, we have to fight for people like Tom Head. But because of people like Tom Head and some of the others who are publishing, some of the faculty members who are publishing in the various departments, the department of this or that obtains national recognition. and young people who are completing PhD programs in departments nationally who want jobs will write to our department. They realize that if there are people here who are doing some publishing, who are active, that when they come here, they won't be committing professional suicide. So this really helps the university in its recruitment program as well as in its national splash, if you wish. I would like to point out that perhaps there's been some confusion today, and occasionally I think it has appeared that there are two camps, a research institute camp and another camp of professors who are research oriented and who are trying to, you might say, go it alone. I want to, if you'll forget about this here, I don't have an eraser here, so I'll have to talk about something else here beside the star professor. But in the parlance of the, as the education people call it, the modern math, the institutes are program oriented. And so you have an area here which is a program. Marine science, geophysics, Arctic engineering, Arctic biology, whatever you want. Within this program are various disciplines, and the disciplines fill up the program, really. But we do have only six or seven of these institutes. They are program-oriented. They don't include all the disciplines that you would find in a university. I suspect that the College of Mathematics, Physical Sciences, and Engineering is more of a complete university than any one of the institutes, if you just include disciplines. We have a lot of them. So out here, outside of all of these institutes, you'll find some disciplines. Tom Head's an example. Pure mathematics. Here he is. He really doesn't fit into any of the institutes. So he's doing his work by himself. It's not because he's not interested in working with an institute. There isn't a program here at the university which is associated with pure mathematics. So Tom does his work by himself. And there are various other areas where individual researchers, areas of chemistry, engineering management perhaps. Well, probably not engineering management too much, but chemistry, perhaps some areas of physics, which are not really associated with a specific institute. They're disciplines off by themselves. Now, there's a problem here with these people because they can't go to an institute director and say, would you fund me for a summer if I will do my work through your institute? The institute just doesn't handle that kind of work. So these people must go it alone, you might say. And I would hardly recommend to the Board of Regents that the university stump for some money to be handled at the discretion of the Vice President for Research and Advanced Study for summer research funding of college people who lie outside of these program areas, because there are many college people who do lie outside of these program areas. Now, I think that many of these areas, the principal investigators who would obtain funding from these funds should be encouraged, and I'm sure they would be encouraged, to go get their own funds for future support. But we need this seed money particularly for the young people who come in who are not yet established as researchers. These we try to hire sharp young people, and I'll have some sharp young people stand up again if because we do have many, many very sharp young people. As Peter Ray, I think, taught me a long time ago, the best way to go probably at this university is to hire sharp young people with good backgrounds. Be sure that they're sharp, though, and let them develop here, and they'll go to the moon. This is a tremendous country and a tremendous university for bright young people. So if we can seed these people, if we can give them funding for perhaps two summers, I think it would take at least two summers in most cases, particularly with federal money tight to get at this stage of the game, we would be able to get these people going. They would be very productive researchers. They would be Tom Heads, if you wish, of future research at the University of Alaska. Now, where there is an institute whose program or fits the discipline, or the discipline fits the program, I'm sure most of us encourage the people to work through the institutes. And I must say that I deal with the most rational of all people, engineers. And also with the next least irrational of all people, the physical scientists. So I've had the privilege of dealing with Sage Murphy and Water Resources, Don Hood, and all his fine people in Institute of Marine Sciences, and dealing to a very large extent with the Geophysical Institute. These are rational people. We get along beautifully. We want to make it work, and I think generally we do. Now we have occasional gripes. When you go into an institute director's office, you better hang out of your billfold, because as Keith Mather pointed out this morning, institutes are in business. They're very much interested in that state dollar. The state dollar will do a lot more things than a federal dollar will. A federal dollar is non-matchable. A state buck is matchable. So institute directors are trying to get as many state dollars as they can. And this is great. I hope I don't speak with a forked tongue, but I do speak with two heads, because I'm on both sides of the fence, and I understand, I think, the principles here, although I get my pockets picked once in a while, too, so I don't understand as well as I should. But I think that this has worked out well in our areas. We do have rational people. We want to get along. We want to make it work, so it has worked out quite well. I think that occasionally, though, in the quest for funds, because of this tremendous leverage, because so much of the funds, you see, the Board of Regents scratches for the state dollars, really. You go to the legislature and you attempt to get us the state dollars. But the institute directors and other researchers are the people who get the federal dollars. So these people are out there digging very hard, and occasionally, in the quest for money, as it must be, they perhaps nick the college. I think most of us keep our eyes open for this. We expect it. If we don't, we're dumb, really. We hope they don't nick us too hard. And again, when all is said and done, there's probably a lot more said than done. I'm living proof of this. But over the past several years, with the organization of the university as it is today, with the institutes competing nationally, competing among themselves to an extent, I've had my throat cut a few places that were off campus, and perhaps I've cut some. But nonetheless, with this competition, and with the competition to an extent between the institutes and the colleges, we've had pretty healthy growth here. We've had some tough times, and there are a few bitternesses here and there, but I think that the future of this is extremely bright. I hate to call on history to say that it is, but historically, because of the growth of the university in all areas, I think the system has pretty well proved itself. There's no reason to think that these curves that go up and up and up and on all fronts are going to stop. There's one front, and that's enrollment, that has apparently stopped, I hope only temporarily. We'll fight that battle on another day, though. Now, getting back to our college, just briefly. Our college has, because of the various disciplines involved, it's a large college discipline-wise, so because of these various disciplines, I'm sure that we are in one way or another cooperating, doing research through, or having teaching done by all of the institutes on the campus. Our physics department, our electrical engineering department work quite well with the Geophysical Institute. Occasionally Keith and I bang heads, but generally we work very well, and I think the accomplishments are there to show it. We work with marine science. Now, our people in chemistry have done research work with marine science people, and the marine science people are teaching a chemistry course or more. I believe it's only one, isn't it, Warren? They're teaching one chemistry course for us. They have tremendous chemists, so we're attempting to utilize them in an attempt to strengthen our chemistry program. Essentially, for all practical purposes, they probably are members of the chemistry department. In water resources, we have excellent liaison. Some of our people are doing research in water resources, and some of the water resources people are teaching courses in civil engineering, environmental health engineering, and so on. I even have to say that we have a little something going with Vic Fisher's group. Again, when all is said and done, more said than done, and those are the sayers, and we're the doers, I hope. But Vic has been teaching a course in regional planning for us in the civil engineering department, and this is quite an interdisciplinary effort this last semester, and we hope there's going to be a lot more of this. We, through our chemistry department again, have a few things going with Arctic biology. Let's see, what other, and of course, Institute of Arctic Environmental Engineering, we have very close relationships with. I hope goodness. I would like to just indicate a few more things here about our publication review. At the end of this, we talk about master theses, and we do have a large number beyond that of graduate student reports. Now, these reports are the results generally of people getting master degrees in the engineering management area. And again, this is taught generally at night, but it's here, Anchorage and Juneau. And we'll graduate someplace between 10 and 20 students a year in this program. These are not theses, these are just professional papers. But in this listing of professional papers, you will find a large number of papers which are extremely useful in the everyday this and that in the state of Alaska. These are engineering papers, so these are extremely useful. They're probably much more useful than many of the areas of research that you might see even back farther in our report here. In my ill-preparedness, I have about 30 different sets of papers here. Try not to swing off onto the wrong one. I think I've about come to the end, the last paper here. I thank you for your attention. I'm sorry that I could not say a little bit more about research in our college. I didn't mention plans. We don't have plans. We don't have a program of research. Each individual member of the college has his own plans. He will do his own research. He may work with interdisciplinary teams or by himself as the occasion arises, but really the college does not have a research program. It doesn't have a research plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Chuck. I think it's obvious why